This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave.
It's the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe, but one country at a time. Now, tonight, you've got Heath, Damien, and myself in the studio taking you around the world. We're off to Africa. In fact, we're going to Botswana, a fairly small country, but with the second highest prevalence of HIV in Africa. So in looking at Botswana, we'll be speaking with Craig Youngman from Legabibo, which is Lesbians, Gays, Bisexuals of Botswana. We spoke to him earlier on about their fight for registration, their fight to be noticed. Some developments in the area of education, and they are taking the lead in terms of primary school education and showing some very promising signs of success. And we hear his aspirations for a nation that is accepting of LGBT people.
Boa noite. This is David from Brazil, listening to World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
Botswana, officially the Republic of Botswana. It is one of those former British protectorates. So it is what came with that was the laws around homosexuality and sodomy and all those sorts of things. So we will delve into those tonight. It's a quite a small sized country in southern Africa and fairly sparsely populated. But since it threw off the shackles of the United Kingdom in 1966, it's actually progressed really well to become one of the fastest growing economies in the world. That has come with some problems, though. So the laws that are left over regarding same-sex acts all relate to what is termed unnatural offences. So basically, if you have knowledge of any person who, against the order of nature, has done something, so that might be an attempt to commit an unnatural offence or indecent practices between people, then you are subject to imprisonment for a term of up to 5 years. And then they sort of go on to say, well, if there's anything else you've done, you might get up to 2 years. There's a sort of catch-all that says general punishment of offences. So where they haven't identified a specific punishment, well, we can punish you for up to 2 years. The interesting thing here, though, is that same-sex sexual acts, whilst illegal, are rarely prosecuted. So there has been, it's been very rare since 2004 for somebody to actually be prosecuted.
Well, so it's kind of like turning the blind eye. So they haven't explicitly decriminalised it or legalised it, but they've just, you know, chosen to, in most cases, turn a blind eye to it.
Exactly. Now, you picked up something in the employment area, which is quite interesting.
I know. So despite the fact that engaging in same-sex sexual activity is against the law, it is actually... The Employment Act of 2010 has prohibited employment discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation.
Okay, so the law says you can't be gay, but you also can't be discriminated against for not being gay or for being gay, which you can't be.
Yes.
We got that?
I know, it's a little bit confusing, isn't it?
So this is one of those progressive laws they've brought in. So a basic protection under the Employment Act, which covers a lot of things, but specifically mentions sexual orientation. It's quite unusual.
I know, and that's why, and it's so weird that in a country where they've actually, you know, that the acts themselves are illegal, but in some ways they're actually... further ahead than in Australia.
That's right. Now, in other areas, though, I mean, overall, homosexuality is a fairly taboo subject and quite often quoted as being a Western disease, something that's come in from the outside. There have been some very high-profile speakers who have a particular case in February 2011, where the Botswana National Assembly was debating condoms being distributed to people in jail, And the deputy speaker at the time said that he would, if he had the power, he would have those who practice homosexuality killed. So that's a fairly high profile. Now, on the other side of that, former Botswanan President Festus Magee, spoke out against sexual discrimination in 2010 and 2011. He's actually been quite a campaigner, and he's been working on HIV projects in the country. So he said he does not want to see discrimination, and HIV messages apply to everybody. And one last thing to finish up on our fun fast facts, Botswana held its first LGBTQ film festival this year.
Excellent.
So it was held in the capital. The themes for the festival were related to how Christianity has exacerbated violence against LGBT communities and how homosexuality is seen as un-African and whether anti-sodomy laws that persist in Botswana are justified. Not quite the happy films we get here at the Melbourne Queer Film Festival.
No, but I mean, obviously it's, you know, important, you know.
But it is, yeah, it is progress, and it is it visibility.
Is. Hello, Australia. This is Gabrielle from Luxembourg. From the other side of the world, we share in your fight for same-sex marriage. Good luck to everyone at Joy 94.9.
It's a worldwide wave, Joy 94.9, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time, where tonight we are in Botswana. Now, we spoke earlier on this evening with Kane Youngman. Kane is from a group called Legabibo. So it's L-E for lesbian, G-A for gay, B-I for bi, and B-O for Botswana, Legabibo Botswana. And they are the lesbian and gay support group within Botswana. They are in a fight at the moment to actually become registered. So whilst they're operating and providing support and services for the LGBT community, they are not yet registered. The government has denied it, so they're in a fight. So we spoke to Kane to find out what life is like in Botswana.
We don't get an outright homophobia or these people being killed, people being raped, like in other countries. We don't get the government coming in at the organization's premises, raiding it, getting things. We don't get that here. What we have is homophobia on the down low, basically. It could be at the family setup, service provision, like at the hospitals, at the police, at the counselors, just about everywhere in general. There's an issue of passports, traveling documents, or other identity documents for that. When you're a transgendered person, maybe you portray yourself as a man, but you are born a female. Now you're a trans man. You travel, you get to the airport, your passport says you're female. Your body to them gives them that you're male. So some of them, one of them actually ended up giving up on traveling. One has gone through a lot when he was transitioning from being a woman to being a man. From one airport to the other, he would be moved from one office to the other, sometimes even missing his connecting flights and ended up being boarded maybe a couple of hours late. So what happened now, at least now he managed to build relationships with those airport personnel. So, but then that means when he transitions or when he connects through a different airport, it's the same process all over again because the Home Affairs Department cannot change his passport. They say what features in the passport is what features on the birth certificate.
There are laws against unnatural offences, I guess is what it's termed. What are the relations like between police and the gay community?
Since, I think, 2007, we've had a couple of, almost every year we have a training on the police on how to deal with the LGBT community. We also have trainings, voluntary counselling testing centres. We have a penal code, section 164, which is basically talks about any person having carnal knowledge against the order of nature, yada yada, all that gibberish. But many people, even some service providers, they have difficulties helping the LGBTIs because of what the laws say. Some said if the law was different, they'll definitely have the LGBTs without any disturbances, without any frustrations from their side or anything.
So do the laws have an impact on the ability to combat HIV?
It does, actually. It does. When I go, let's say I go for testing and counselling with my partner, the person there is not bound somehow by the law to help me. Technically, they might be bound because they're health providers, yes. But if, when I come with a male partner and I'm male, they start questioning in, they start calling in the police, this and that. And that means I go back, I tell my friends who are LGBTIs, and they will not go back there. I will not go back, and they won't go there to get tested and counseled. So basically, these repressive laws, yes, they do somehow delay the fight, the battle against HIV/AIDS, because they're not inclusive. But at least 65% of MSM who didn't even know that anal sex carried a bit of a high risk as far as HIV transmission is concerned.
This is David Odal from the Umuntu Foundation, Malawi, Southern Africa, on the World Wide Web, on Joy 94.9.
And the voice you were hearing there was Kane Youngman from Legabibo, Lesbians, Gays, Bisexuals of Botswana. The impact of the laws on HIV with the country. So let's just set the scene a bit for Botswana. As we were saying, some good news there in that they've gained quite a lot of benefits in the economy. But HIV, 24.8% of the population aged 15 to 49 is currently infected with HIV. It's one of the highest rates in the world and the second highest in Africa behind Swaziland. That's huge, and certainly what Kane was saying there around when a HIV, when a gay person or a MSM, man who has sex with men, goes in and has some testing and then has a bad experience, they're either not made to feel uncomfortable or they're outright discriminated. He mentioned calling the police. It starts the grapevine. So they speak to friends who say, oh, no, don't go in, it's a bad experience. That must have a really big impact on people not wanting to get tested.
Exactly. And when you got that general kind of attitude, it makes it, why would you want to? Because particularly if people see you walking into that clinic, only those type of people go into that clinic.
That's a real interesting thing there, Heath, because if the infection rates are so prolific, we're talking a quarter of, the greater adult population, in a way, you're thinking, how can that possibly be stigmatized if it's literally one in four?
And in fact, the highest rates are amongst heterosexual women. So, and this is where HIV is being spread very rapidly, low condom use. So even amongst heterosexuals, that's the dominant area of infection. Interestingly, they are highest in towns and lowest in cities. So cities and villages, the really big and the really small, have lower HIV infection rates than towns, which is a really interesting fact. Now, the Ministry for Education, we did mention at the top of the show that there were some interesting developments in the area of education. So the Ministry for Education introduced a program into schools using technology. They had some help from Stanford University. And basically, it's a learning tool that targets the very young. So from year six, they start to educate children around HIV. And what they have found is that from the initial stages, 15 to 19-year-olds, the HIV infection rate or prevalence has dropped by half. So what they're finding is that young people are becoming more and more aware, but families, I guess, are being faced with many challenges of how they look after family members who are living with HIV. One of the many, many challenges that Botswana is facing, and we're going to hear some more from Kane from Legabibo.
Hi, this is Janne Mr. Gay Finland, and you are listening on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
The World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time, where tonight we're stopped off in Botswana, and it's our big lead-up to the World AIDS Day broadcast. Now, the broadcast is a 24-hour multimedia broadcast. We will be broadcasting from the studios here, covering all of the issues around HIV in preparation for AIDS 2014, the World AIDS Conference being hosted here in Melbourne. Now, 24 hours, there'll be six shifts of presenters working around the clock. There's TV cameras and they'll be going out, streaming it over Skype and other channels, and it'll be going out to attendees of the conference in Melbourne next year. So quite pertinent tonight that we're talking Botswana with the second highest HIV prevalence rate in Africa. Now, we have been speaking tonight about Botswana and interviewing Kane Youngman. Kane is from Legabibo, the Lesbians, Gays, Bisexuals of Botswana. And we wanted to hear some more about particularly their court battle to become registered in Botswana. Your organisation, Legabibo, is only quite small, very few people in the organisation.
Yes.
What sort of services and help do you provide for the LGBTI community?
For now, we provide counselling. We have made partnerships with a couple of counsellors. Like in Gaborone, we have a counsellor. Whenever somebody gives us a call and say they have problems, they need to see a counsellor, we make an appointment with them. The counsellor comes to the office and the client comes to our office and they have a session there. We have formed support groups in 5 districts all over the country. And in each of these districts, we've making partnerships with social workers or counselors, a nurse, and maybe a police officer, so that at least when the LGBTs have problems, they know where to go to. So the Legabibo provides counseling, yes, but at minimal. We also give out HIV barrier methods, condoms, lubes, which we get from the Ministry of Health locally. Loops, we're getting through a certain project called ARP, that's African Regional Project, which is in partnership with 2 other organizations in Botswana. So the moment we get registered, we'll be able to provide rehabilitation centers for people who are having alcohol and drug-related problems. We'll be able to provide barrier methods like dental dams, like lubricants, condoms, specific LGBT information, HIV AIDS information.
You mentioned there that you were awaiting, or you were trying to get registered. You'll be able to provide these things when you are registered. You're fighting this in the courts because currently that hasn't been allowed. How is the fight progressing?
So far, it's kind of hard to tell because our expected court appearance is on the 26th or 27th of March, 2014. We had a court appearance on the 24th of August this year, where we had a roll call. But maybe it's worth noting that this is the second time around we attempted to get registered. We attempted to get registered in 2005. So the Registrar of Societies dilly-dallied with us for a good 2 years without giving us any information, anything. Would call and ask how far with our registration application. They'll tell you, they'll send back your constitution and ask you, oh no, we don't understand what you mean by gay. Can you please explain what you mean by gay? But what's the word that I'm looking for? We basically challenged their decision to refuse to register us. And we sent in a challenge. Then they responded back. They forwarded us to the Minister of Labour and Home Affairs. So the Minister of Labour and Home Affairs also supported their case and saying they did nothing wrong in refusing to register. So what they did was basically still within the bounds of the law. So that's when we decided this time around to focus on registration issue only. This second case is different from the 2011 case in the sense that the 2013 case focuses strictly on registration, while the 2011 case focuses mostly on decriminalization and partly on registration.
What is your vision for the future? What do you see as being the end point for LGBT people in Botswana?
Well, my vision for the future is decriminalization of the LGBTI, getting the Khabibu registered to, that way we'll be able also to play our part in the society. Even just basically to empower the LGBTIs, because that's one of our mandates also, to empower the LGBTIs, because some of them kind of become victims of their own sexualities. You know, amazingly, as much as we have the repressive laws in Botswana, amazingly, we have a very progressive employment act that protects the LGBTIs and also spreading Lekhaibo to the other districts in Botswana, because...
Kane, fantastic. Thank you very, very much, and good luck with your battle in the courts.
Thank you, Matthew.
Hi, this is Max from Amnesty International speaking from Ukraine on the World Wide Wave.
And that was the voice, we're in Botswana, that was the voice of Kane Youngman from Legabibo, the lesbian, gay, bisexual organisation in Botswana. And interesting there that sometimes the gay community is a victim of their own sexuality. So one of the key aims that they're looking for as an organisation, yes, they're doing the grassroots stuff to do with HIV and counselling and legal support, but they really want people to become empowered, and that's a really, really positive message. The court case that they were talking about there, so basically they, as an organisation, have been trying to be registered, and he was mentioning earlier that the difficulties when they're not registered, some of the support groups are saying, well, look, you know, we really can't help you. And then that has implications for all sorts of services delivery, including fighting HIV. So the court case is going, they've had an initial hearing and it's going ahead in March next year. There have also been a couple of other organisations that have come forward who've asked to speak at the court case. Now, the first is Human Rights Watch, who are in support of the registration and believe this is a really positive way forward. And then there is a Conservative Evangelical Fellowship, which is a group of churches who, gee, do you reckon they're going to support it?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, I don't know. You know? No, they are standing up against the case. So it will be very interesting to see how it plays out. I've got a good sense that there's going to be some progress in Botswana. There's some strong, passionate people who, despite being gay or engaging in same-sex sexual acts being illegal, they're still fighting. They're clearly not going to give up. And with people like Kane, they're providing services and help. I think there's some good things ahead in Botswana.
I agree. I look forward to seeing what happens next and see if they beat us to the punch.
It's a worldwide wave on Joy 94.9.
This is Ulrike Lunacek, member of the European Parliament and co-president of the Parliament's LGBT intergroup on the worldwide wave.
And now it's time for a bit of a worldwide wrap, where we take a look at the news stories, that the things that are making news around the world. And I think we'll kick off with something, a couple of stories from home, actually. If anybody has lived under a rug and hasn't heard something about our Governor General, what have you got there, Heath?
Well, the Governor General has come out in favour of same-sex marriage. So she delivered her final Boyer Lecture of the Year on Friday and came out strongly for marriage equality and an Australian Republic. So she said she hoped that Australia might become a nation where people are free to live and marry whom they choose.
And in fact, if you go to our Facebook page, you can see a lovely image with that quote there, and you can like it and share it as you like.
Indeed.
Now, also in Australia, an American is a high-profile American is interestingly hedging his bets. The gay and married US ambassador to Australia was asked directly on ABC News Breakfast about his views on same-sex marriage and what Australia should do. And he said, Australians need to decide that issue best for Australians. Now, interestingly, though, he only did two radio interviews while he was in Melbourne. And one of them, where do you think it was? Right here on Joy 94.9, Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station. So to US Ambassador John Berry, thank you for being a part and sharing your time with us here on Joy 94.9. Across to India now, where hundreds of people have marched for gay rights in New Delhi and Bangalore. Now, this is the world's second most populous nation, and the march was a part of the Delhi Queer Pride Festival. So if you took the 1 in 10 rule, I think that's a hell of a lot of people that would fall into the LGBTI category in India. So it's good to see them having a voice.
Now we head across to Washington, D.C., where a woman was appalled when she received a homophobic message on a cake she ordered to celebrate her anniversary. She ordered a carrot cake, but rather than the icing depicted, which featured a bouquet of balloons, she and requested a custom design and saying she didn't want balloons. But instead of a message, instead of what she asked for, she got lesbian aniv dot no balance. It sounds more like a...
Some pretty bad writing on there too. They didn't. They had a bit of a shaky hand when they were writing this with the icing, I think, because it's a pretty bad job.
I know. I mean, whether someone was being... I'm not sure whether someone was actually being homophobic or whether they didn't click that this was actually an instruction. I'm not sure, but... Yes,
the manager refused to address the issue of the cake's message, although he did offer her a refund. Interesting. Now, that brings us to the close on Botswana and the Worldwide Wrap. It's the Worldwide Wave. We'll catch you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Worldwide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.